Okay, we're live. Hola Madridistas. It's been a super week. You know, all of our rivals, Atleti, Barca, Girona, are all humbled. We're comfortably on top in La Liga, but you know, we did have to eventually pay the injury tax yet again. We lost our star man, Jude Bellingham. He probably is out for 2 to 3 weeks. Hopefully, lesser than that, but yeah, we have to get into that. So before we do all of that, a word from our sponsor, Manscaped. This Super Bowl season, make sure, you know, even though the Super Bowl is over, one thing that stood out to me was every time the camera panned to Taylor Swift, it was always like a breath of fresh air. So just like that, make sure to keep your balls safe, fresh and secure. So you can use code LBR20 for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's code LBR20 at manscaped.com. Well, without further ado, you know, let's kick things off in this preview here. We have Justin from RBL Talk, one of the few English pods for Leipzig out there, and he's doing it all on his own from the land down under. Hey, mate, forgive me, but you know, I was forced by my fellow Madridistas to say the following. You know, we hope you're doing all well and good, but hopefully, you're not, you know, coming into this on the back of popping too many Red Bulls, yeah?
Yeah, no, that's all right. Thanks, Jacob, for having me.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about your work over at RBL Talk and how you managed to. Yeah, like Mo said earlier, like we haven't yet met an Leipzig fan, especially out of Germany. So how did all of that happen?
I've got a long, detailed description of how I became about it, so I'll try to be a bit short. So my family is originally from Germany. I grew up and lived in Australia all my life. I speak very limited German due to my great grandmother, who was only speaking German in her later years when she had dementia. And I never really grew up with football because, being in Australia, it's always Aussie rules or cricket or anything like that. And I remember flicking through some games and watching, you know, Real Madrid was one of them. Manchester United were big. I think Newcastle were even big back then. We didn't have cable TV, so it'd just be whatever games were on. And then I was really looking for a team in Leipzig. So I just punched in Google one day, Leipzig, you know, football or soccer team, and RB Leipzig came up, and I was like, oh, cool. And I've just been following them ever since. And you get a bit of flack for it these days. It's more so the German population that will give you a lot of flack for it. And I understand that, how it's run and so forth. It's not run traditional in Germany, and also how you guys are run. I think Barca is the same. I'm not too sure if there's any La Liga teams that are actually owned by any companies or anything like that. I think like Valencia used to be owned by someone at one point. I know the EPL is big on teams being owned by people or businesses. But yeah, and just been following them ever since. I still remember going back in the day having to try to find live streams of these Leipzig games that I wasn't even sure they were Leipzig games to begin with. Of, you know, the commentary was in German, and I think one was even just like a live stream of someone's phone or device just watching a game back in, I think they were tier three. So you've come a long way compared to where we were just even 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, I did expect that you know, Leipzig would get that sort of treatment from the rest of the German league, but then you know, even in La Liga, like we have things to complain about too. I mean, Man City owns one of the club who's second in the league right now, so
It was actually one of my friends that told me about that the other day. He's just like, oh, do you know, forgive me if I'm saying, I'm going to say this wrong. I think it's Girona or Girona.
Girona, yeah.
They turned around and they're like, do you know City owned them? And I'm like, say what? And then I looked it up, and yeah, it's not like a controlling stake, but it's still, you know, influence nonetheless. And when you look at it, you know, that's, I don't follow the A League here in Australia, but we've got Melbourne City that were renamed from, I think they were Melbourne Heart or something like that. And they're obviously a City Football Group club. And people say that Red Bull is bad because, you know, we've got like three or four teams, but I think City take the cake. I'm sorry if I've annoyed any City fans or anything listening or watching to this.
No more. I'm sure Mo will tell you. annoying City fans and, you know, EPL fans is our part-time hobby. But yeah, Mo, how are you doing? Are you still on top of the world since last week?
Yeah, man, exactly. I mean, how can you not be after the week that we had? You know, I completely, like, we blew Girona away into smithereens. And I, if you remember in the pre-match preview that we did, both of us, like, we weren't really too sure about how the thing was going to plan out, especially because of the injuries to Rudiger and Nacho, you know, without a center back. But then, as Ancelotti said, Carvajal played like he had played 300 to 400 games as center back. So when you have CB Carvajal, I mean, you don't really need to worry, I guess, from now on. So on top of the world with Tchouaméni and Carvajal without conceding a shot on target, I mean, it doesn't really get better than that. And then on top of that, you add to the fact that Atleti lost their game against Sevilla, of all teams. And then, you know, Barcelona drew, although I would have probably been happier if Barcelona, you know, dropped a few more points, probably lost the game. I guess a few refereeing decisions went in favor of them. I mean, it definitely does help when Laporta is moaning about referees like 24/7. So, yeah, man, the only thing that could have been better was Barcelona losing. But yeah, overall, I'm pretty happy about the whole weekend, you know, football-wise.
Yeah, for once, the football gods just aligned and, you know, it was a very happy week for Real Madrid. But, you know, we did not come out of it just without any casualties. We lost a talisman and whatnot.
Yeah, man, Jude's injury is kind of worrisome because, you know, he's been an absolute talisman for us, like you said. But I kind of have, like, incredible belief in, you know, Brahim Diaz stepping in and delivering. And I think Ancelotti sort of showed us his his blueprint, how he's going to approach this game, because he kind of switched Rodrigo towards the center and, you know, Brahim in the half spaces. So I guess that's going to work. In the Las Palmas game when we went away to the Canary Islands, I guess we kind of struggled with it because Brahim was playing centrally and we didn't really get much penetration. But I hope, you know, Ancelotti sticks to the things he did in Girona and we have a good game.
Absolutely. But speaking about the matchup, like, even before we actually reached Leipzig, our bus got into an accident. Like, do you know if it's anything serious, if it's sabotaged by the Leipzig fans? Usually, you know, the fans wait until the away team goes to the hotel, but I don't know if this was...
I don't want to offend Justin, but I'd be surprised if, you know, Leipzig managed to muster enough fans to sabotage our bus, maybe throw a can under the bus or something.
It's pretty hard to offend me, lads, trust me. I get enough flack on social media as it is. I've just, like, people just turn around and just give me, you know, flack all day long for being a Leipzig supporter. They've even said to shut this podcast down. I was like, no. and I think they will wait at least until the plane lands or something like that if they're going to do anything, because, you know, international stuff. Like.
No, man, but seriously, I guess it was like just somebody who kind of got like enamored by the fact that he was traveling next to the Real Madrid bus and, you know, got over eager and started videographing it, and it kind of grazed the bus and stuff. So it's nothing serious. I guess it was Bild in Germany who were reporting that the guy had like 3,000, 4,000 euros worth of damage to his car or something. But yeah, in Spain, it's been nothing. So yeah, overall, nobody's hurt. You know, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So the team's back in the hotel, all safe, ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming over to Leipzig, Justin. It's a bit of a misnomer because when I look at your team, you have no major injuries. Things seem to be going well on the surface, but then if you look at your last five Bundesliga games, you've only won one. How come that's the case?
Yeah. So. We've had some defensive issues all season. I was hoping that it would just be, you know, start of season jitters, you know, just starting to get into the thick of things and then you just iron out those things. But we had Willy Orban out for a little bit. Since he's come back, we've definitely been more structurally sound. He's like a general in defense. He, you know, keeps everyone in their places, you know, and how it gets everything running well. In hindsight, I don't know if it's that we're underestimating our opposition or if we're overcommitting sometimes and just get caught on the break, because we've dropped points to teams that we shouldn't have in the Bundesliga. There's been at least 3 to 5 games that I can recall if we had have taken the points that we would have been expected, because there's a couple that we've lost and a couple we've drawn, we'd be sitting in the Champions League spot. Currently, we're sitting in fifth, 3 points. Just behind Dortmund and Stuttgart, and then the top two, which is Bayern and Leverkusen, who just beat Bayern the other day, 3-0 or something like that. We got beaten by them as well. We managed to, in the very first game of the season or round two or three, we managed to lose against them, but we played quite well compared to when the reverse fixture was. And I look at the way I look at it is that sometimes it's got to do a bit of personnel and it's also got to do a little bit of management. Now, there were calls for Marco Rosa to be sacked or to go. I was not one of those. I did say, is it time for Marco Rosa to go, so to speak? But I said no. Give him the whole month of February at least to see what's happening. And he turned it around in the most recent game. Sorry, not the last one against Unsberg, the one before that. But the defensive issues still persist, and I can't really think of what it is. It has to be something internal, I would say. I don't know if it's just mentality as well, because we've got a bit of a young squad as well. Like when you look at it, we've only got a few players that are over 30, you know, like Peter Galacci. You got, I can't even think of our defender now. Midfielder, Kevin Campbell, the Slovenian. He's been around for a fair bit. He was absolutely woeful though against Unsberg. And Xavier Schlager is, I hope he doesn't start against you guys, because we're just going to get teared up with your midfield three if that's the case. He was over possessing the ball, passing it to no one. It's really hard to say. But if we play the Leipzig way that we have played, like for instance, when we played against City, we can do performances like that in the group stage. We'll take a draw. I don't think we'll win. It's just because the quality is too good from you guys all over the pitch. Obviously, you can't completely close that off, because anything can happen in football, as you know. But in total, I think it's just mentality. We've got players there. They're doing their roles, but it's mainly we've been in front and we've dropped, or we've dropped our heads, like we've gone behind and it's like, oh, I didn't expect that. And then we score 5 minutes later. So I just don't think we're mentally in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, from what I watched in the highlights with Leipzig, it's always you guys leave it late to concede late, but it's always an entertaining game. So at least you have that going for you. It's never a 0-0 goalless draw.
Yeah, so the way we play with the Gegen press, we always to put it to another team that is more widely renowned. It's like Liverpool, because Klopp brought that over from Dortmund. As soon as they've got the ball, we press. We don't like to sit back, give you like 70% possession to us 30 or something like that. We will attack the ball carrier. We will try to get the ball. We will try to play attacking football. And obviously, sometimes that can't always go well. You will be exposed, especially if you overcommit. But that's an entertaining game of football. And I'd rather lose a game 3-2 or even 5-2 or something like that than play poorly and get beaten 3-0 or 3-1.
Well. Yeah, but speaking about that, so it's almost suicide to play that sort of a high line or a gegenpress against teams like Leverkusen. All of us Real Madrid fans want to know, firsthand you've experienced the miracles Xabi Alonso has performed with that team. So what actually stood out for you and where do you think his future is?
What was that? What stood out from
the Leverkusen game? And what stood out for you in terms of Xabi Alonso's man management and stuff?
He's coached them well. They're very well drilled. And basically, he's also got the right personnel players for the role that he's given them. So everyone just goes in, they play their role. They know how to play. They're still a young set side. They can play well together. And at the end of the day, you've got some really good quality players. I scout a couple of players here and there. You'd love to have, Jerome Frimpong on the wing anywhere, on a right back or left back for any team in the world. I think you guys even scouted him at one point. At least I saw rumors for that. It's just, you look at it and he's just done well. He's coached them well. He's doing what's best for the team. He's doing everything for the players, and you just have to give it up to him. And that's why he's been given the rumors of the Liverpool job and Bayern if Tuchel gets sacked. And yeah, he'll go places for sure.
Yeah. What's your take on Bayern actually sacking Tuchel? Do you think it'll happen this season?
Bayern are pretty strict. It may happen. It may not. It really goes to looking at, obviously, I can't talk because I'm obviously a Leipzig supporter, but looking at how in the past and just going from their behavior, I would say that if they don't close the gap between them and Leverkusen, he may go before season's end, and then someone may come in to try to take that, because it'd be like their first time. They've never won a trophy in years. It may happen, it may not. That's really up to them. I could see him going if they get the gap widens to three games. So
3 games, that's all it takes in the Bundesliga, yeah?
Well, maybe for Bayern, but years ago we were sitting 15th or something like that. We won our first DFB Pokal with Domenico Tedesco. We started the season poorly, and that's when Marco Rosa came in. And he turned it around and did we went back to back in top four again. So it really depends on how the football club is run and when's the right time and when's enough as well. So you got to look at it in the broader spectrum. So how many games left in the season? What can we still achieve? What happens if we don't do it? And what happens if we do it? And obviously they've got the finances as well to worry about, like paying out the contracts and so forth.
Absolutely. Mo, I'll come to you regarding facing this particular Leipzig team, because in the past they've had Nkunku, Guardiola, Szoboszlai, Laimer, Werner, Forsberg, all of those guys, right? But then now you're left with Sesko, Openda, Xavi Simons, Lukeba, and those guys. So do you actually feel scared playing against them? Do you think they can actually hurt us?
Okay, if you remember, we did a podcast when the round of 16 draw was made, and the first thing I said was, for me, Leipzig is the worst draw that Real Madrid could get. It's not particularly because I kind of, think that they have, excellent five-star players or anything. It's more about the style of football they play, like Justin was talking about. I think previous Leipzigs, not even talking about this one, but previous Leipzigs, they have, completely followed that line about, the philosophy that Ralf Rangnick kind of embodies, and something that I think United even wanted him to come there and implement, but for whatever reason they couldn't do it. But the philosophy of Rangnick, that heavy pressing style, the heavy metal football that Rangnick has championed, and coaches Jurgen Klopp and Thomas Tuchel, they have taken to England. So I think that they were the perfect embodiment of that in the Bundesliga. But this season, whenever I've watched them, I've seen a slightly different style of Leipzig, because they don't really have the same players, but they have more creative players out wide, like Dani Olmo and Xavi Simons from PSG, and having a striker Benjamin Sesko or Luis Openda playing in behind him. They have kind of utilized the wings, and pinged in crosses, and Sesko has been incredibly good in the air. So for me, I think that's one area that, Real Madrid have to worry about, given the fact that we don't really have a centre-back going into this game. I think Nacho is coming back. So it's probably going to be Nacho and Tchouaméni. So for me, handling that aerial ability, especially of Sesko and, Openda making those run-ins behind, and, taking advantage of the fact that players are getting, centre-backs are getting gravitated towards Benjamin Sesko. So when this happens, I guess that is how Leipzig open up teams. I was watching the game in the midweek, and while I watched it, I think they were leading by 2-1 or something. So, but after I stopped watching, they lost. So sorry about that, Justin. Probably should have watched the full game.
It looks like I have to blame you then.
But yeah, for me, that's the biggest worry facing Leipzig. Previously it used to be about how good they were at pressing high, and not giving us space. And especially given the fact that Modric isn't the Modric that he used to be previously. So for me, that would have been a big worry. If you remember, the last time we played Leipzig in Leipzig, we kind of lost 3-2. And it was without Benzema. So, we knew we were going in with an inexperienced team, and we didn't really have an outlet to hold the ball up and, evade that pressure. But this time around, I'm slightly more confident, given the fact that we, Rodrigo and Vinicius are more experienced, and we have Cruz playing at top of his form, and how press resistant he is, everybody knows that. So we don't really need to be, we don't really need to write books up talking about it. So having Cruz, and then Fede has been playing good, and Camavinga has been decent. So for me, having this midfield and Brahim is obviously pretty good under pressure, as you've seen, like, you know, multiple times already. So for me, like, it gives me some confidence. But yeah, the biggest worry for me is like balls coming in from the wide, especially given the fact that in recent games, you know, I've always talked about this, but Fulham Mendy not pressing enough, you know, on his wing and not stopping crosses, giving too much time and space. Lucas has done good, but I don't know if he'll play tomorrow. Probably Carvajal playing out wide, then how he deals with cross and everything, and especially the threat of having Šeško, because Šeško is one player like I kind of wanted to ask Justin about, and in time we will. But yeah, man, having him in the center of the box, you know, that aerial presence, I think that's going to be a big threat to Real Madrid.
Yeah, man, go for it, Justin. Tell us about Šeško and, you know, the type of goals that you'd like to score.
Yeah, so obviously he's a good for being an aerial threat. He's had a couple of good headers. A couple of rounds ago when we played Bayer Leverkusen, I really first saw him being able to beat a player. I know he's able to have a bit of explosive pace off the mark. Nothing absolutely fantastic, but he's, you know, no slouch when it comes to, you know, he's no slow being slow. And he beat Jonathan Tah in the Leverkusen game just by sheer pace and skillful ability. So he's able to dribble as well. So he can carry the ball. He's got a good, powerful shot on him. He is normally a player that is dominantly powerful in the air. He can play and score goals from outside the box, inside the box. He's pretty much what you would look at the power center forward or striker as per se, you know, like the Haalands, the Cristiano Ronaldos, that type of mold. So if you whip anything high enough, he's going to be able to bury the headers home. He can dribble past players and shoot from range anywhere. He's got good curve on the ball as well, and he gets good conviction behind those as well. So anywhere, you know, 20 yards out, he's going to be a menace. And he's just improving over time as well. He's never really got the chance to start a lot of games for Leipzig, and now he's getting those runs, and he's taking advantage of it. And personally, I think that him and Openda are our best two striker combination, and something that's going to be solid for the future if we can hold on to those players. Let's take nothing away from our other strikers, you know, like Yusuf Poulsen, who's our record appearance holder. He's still be able to, you know, win games and stuff as well. So I just think he's more of a, as he's getting on in age, as an impact player, or getting someone with experience when it's time to, hey, we need someone to be able to do something, and then put him in the right roles and situations. But I wouldn't underestimate us by any means. That being said, we've got to play really well on our top positions. And yeah, Openda and Šeško, a pretty deadly combination when it comes to, you know, being able to put on a couple of goals real quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, talking about Šeško, I think this is a guy I've been following since he was at Salzburg. So I was kind of like, you know, surprised, but not surprised that he chose to go to Leipzig, because, you know, because of the connection that obviously exists. But like, even in the last two games that I watched him, you know, against Augsburg and then against the previous game in Union, he was pretty brilliant. I think against Union, he kind of had a goal and another goal ruled out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, like, Justin said, you know, he's like, he's one of the players you want to watch out for if Real Madrid cannot get, like, you know, a Haaland or an Mbappe to come in. So I guess Benjamin Šeško is a pretty good shot, because for me, like, whenever I've watched him, I've been incredibly impressed. But another thing about Leipzig that I want to ask you about just is the fact that you guys lost Szoboszlai in the summer window, right? I don't know if you were kind of expecting to lose him, but then since then you have brought in Xavi Simons. So how has your style changed, you know, with these changes? And then you have lost Konrad Leimer, who was an integral part of your midfield. And now I guess you got in Baumgartner, but I don't know if he's starting too much.
Yeah, Christoph.
You have Kevin Campbell and, you know, like you said, Schlager playing in the midfield. So, like, how has Leipzig's style, in your opinion, you know, as a regular watcher, how has your style evolved over the years, especially this season?
So the way it's evolved is more so that we're not having more individual players. We're having to more focus on a team. So we don't have those individual stars that are going to be able to take the game away from the opposition. So when we had Nkunku, we had Szoboszlai, we had even fullbacks completely gutted by Bayern and a few other teams the year before. We had Upamecano go, we had Konate go, we had like Christoph, sorry, Conrad Lime ago. We've basically had to replace most of our regular starting 11. And that has been a little bit hard, and it's a little bit of a transitional phase. And the one criticize I have with Xavi Simmons is not actually anything about him as a player or anything like that, because he's an absolute talent. He's definitely a generational talent, and he's also, the sky's the limit at the moment for him. So he can absolutely do anything at this stage, because he's only like 20-something. So you think at 20 years old, you've still got at least minimum 10 years of football left, and you could do anything. And it's that he's a PSG loanee. So we are a completely different side without Xavi Simmons in it. And for good reason, he's a quite top player. But if we don't hold on to him, we're going to struggle to be able to find a like-for-like talent in that role and position for us. So going back to what you said, we've had to go from individual players only going into playing as a team, and we're still needing to find that creative player. Danny Olmo hasn't really done much since he's come back from his injury, as in he's done some great glimpses of things, but he hasn't won a game himself. He did that against Bayern in the Super Cup, 3-0. That was a fantastic performance. But this is one of the criticizes of Leipzig, is that we do struggle to hold players on and keep them. I don't know if that's more of a, because we're a young club, or ambitions of other players or anything like that, or if it's how the club is. Like, we seem to be get some good players, get them in, build them up, develop them well, especially in the academies, and then we end up selling them on for profit, which, hey, football is a business at the end of the day, but you still want to see your best players and stick around, you know, for your team. So yeah, I hope I answered your question. Go ahead. I rambled a little there.
No. It was actually interesting to hear, you know, talking about how the team went from individuals to more of a team approach, but then one player, you know, just focusing on individual one player, I definitely wanted to ask you about is the fact that with the last two games I watched him, I didn't really see much of Simakan, but you know, this was one guy when Real Madrid faced you guys last season, he kind of like did a good job against us, especially on the right back position. So for me, I want to ask you about him. I think he's playing more centrally this season, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, correct. So he's normally been a centre back for most of his career. We've just used him as a makeshift right back. I don't mind him at the right back. The only issue I have with him is he's not a very good crosser of the ball. So when we have him at the right back position, we normally sacrifice Benny Henriques on that right back flank. So when we lose him, the only thing that we have is no crossing from that right hand side. So if you've got Xavi Simmons playing on that right central midfield area, you're going to have to rely on him doing more crosses than Mo Simakan, because the crosses that I've seen from Mo Simakan have been terrible. he's not like the worst, but he's also not the greatest. So he's a very good, versatile player across that back line, but for me, his best positioning is as a centre back, or if he is a right back, he's very fit. He can backtrack. He can run up and down that side all day long. All he needs to do is to elevate his crossing ability, and he'll really get him to that next level. And he'll be a really, really good right back. He's also good at closing down players, as you mentioned as well. So sometimes I don't notice him that he's actually in a game, because he doesn't seem to be doing anything. But then you actually look at who's on that side of the pitch with him, and then you go, well, actually, he's had a lot of involvements which are just not on the stat sheet, which, you know, go unnoticed unless you're actually physically watching it and go looking for that type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think Simakan is a player that Real Madrid have definitely followed for a long time. So for me, it's like interesting to see how his development had been, because like you said, he was center back and then he suddenly started playing right back. And I remember he did a job on Vinicius last season, because, you know, all the managers seemed to be, you know, like Xavi playing Araujo out wide, and now Leipzig last season, they kind of played Simakan out wide. So for me, it was interesting to see. But then I realized that, you know, Benjamin Henriques has been playing, and Benjamin Henriques kind of got me, he kind of lost name when he went to France, and I believe he was playing for Monaco, but then he's come back to Leipzig and suddenly become like a more polished player. He's back on the scene again. So like, how has he been this season for you guys? And you know, like overall, what is your opinion on him? And do you expect him to start against Vinicius, or do you expect like Marco Rosa would probably prefer Simakan against Vinicius?
So yeah, Benny has done well. I wouldn't say he's done anything bad by any means. He hasn't also lit the competition alight or anything like that. He's come in, he's done his role, he's played well when he's been asked. He was in the friendly squad, I can't remember what month, it might have been October last year, for Germany, because he played well for us in that month that he was picked. And I do think that he'll probably pick Mo Simakan on that back, on that right back flank, only for the simple fact of what you said before, as he played well on Vinny Jr. So I do expect him to be playing in that position, only because Marco Rosa would look at it and go, well, this seems to work or has worked in the past. Let's try with something that does work. Plus, he does seem to like putting him on the right back flank as well. So we'll go with that too. But yeah, Benny Henriques is, for me, the only thing, if you would criticize, because I like to praise my players, but also like to see where they can improve as well, as you can't just say that players are always just fantastically great. The real thing that Benny Henriques, for me, needs to do is his challenges. Now, he's not like a ball stopper, so to speak, as in like he's going to challenge the ball and get perfect tackles every single time. But for me, I'd like to see him win more of the ball and then carry that ball forward and then take that ball to the opposition a lot more often than what he already does.
Yeah, Jacob.
Okay. Yeah, before we actually head into the lineups, let's go through some of the comments quickly. So Hassan says, hola. Hola, Hassan. This is a funny name. The guy is actually called Making Oreo Shake. He says, hey, yeah. And then there's Ajay. He says, hey, guys, hala Madrid. Hassan says, the bus was graced. It said he actually bounced off of the bus. Wow, so it was kind of a major accident, yeah?
I've seen different people say different things, but a guy who I trust kind of said it wasn't serious.
Okay. Farouk says, hello from the other side. Hello yourself, Farouk.
Yeah, Farouk is probably sad today. You know, Nigeria lost yesterday, so he's probably crying.
No, at least he has good things going for him. Just to give you some context, Justin, he's on our panel. Like he usually loves it when we have an entertaining game. And it doesn't really matter if we draw or lose. He just wants to be entertained. So
massive Klopp fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it makes him feel any better, I actually did tip Nigeria to beat Ivory Coast in AFCON. So for me, they were the better team. I didn't actually get to watch the game. But I was surprised that Ivory Coast won. But yeah, not much you can do about that.
Yep. Shit happens. Ashik says, the question is, should the Real Madrid drink Red Bull before the game tomorrow, or use Manscaped, or do both? Difficult question, man. Mo, you want to take?
I mean, if Real Madrid is using the code LBR20, definitely Manscaped.
But yeah, I think the important question should be like, should they be drinking Red Bull after you used, all the Manscaped products, or before?
Are you asking me for this, or
yeah,
for
sure.
My input on that? Yeah.
Well,
obviously, I would say that they should be using the Manscaped products, being a sponsor of you guys. I sort of missed the what was it like the back in the Galactico era where the Real Madrid were a little bit that cockiness, but they had every right to be. If they do beat us like 3-1 or 3-0 or something, hey, drink Red Bull. Why not? Like, rub it in.
Okay, I have to ask. On a side note, Justin, what's your favorite Red Bull flavor? Mine personally is watermelon.
So I'm not a massive drinker of it. So when I do drink it, I just drink the normal one.
Are you even a fan of the club? Really?
Of course, I'm a fan of the club. But there's a difference between a fan of the club and there's a difference between a fan of the club and then a fan of the actual drink as well. So if I go get an energy drink, I only buy Red Bull. Because it does help the club in that way. But I don't drink all the Red Bull. I mean, I go down to a Costco down here and I think we get like a pack of 24 for like $30 or something. And that's like the normal 250ml cans or something. Actually, I've got one here. So there you go. I didn't even know there was any flavors except there was a sugar-free or something like that, which is slightly different. I thought that the mainly companies that did other flavors was like the other major energy drink retailers. So
yeah, you should definitely check out Watermelon. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look, Jacob. So
you're saying more?
No, I was saying the other energy drink that Justin wouldn't name, you know, because of contractual obligations.
Well, I'm still independent, so I've actually got no ties or anything to the club or anything like that. So I can almost say whatever I like, but there's also going to be ramifications because of, you know, me quoting, saying certain things. You know, I can only imagine people with you know, having a field day going, oh, RB Leipzig podcast, RB spokesperson, does this. It's like, no, I'm not official. What's going on?
Yep. Hassan says, Vinny and Rodrigo are licking their lips. So regarding this, do you think we can actually hurt your backline? Where do you think your backline is most weak at? I know you guys are weak at defending transitions, which we're going to look to capitalize, but anything else?
Yeah, so if we like to play on the left-hand side, mostly with David Raum, because he's more of a threat and a great crosser of the ball. So I would say that you want to target the same side that we attack, only because he needs to now backtrack and you're going to wear him out. So that's obviously a weak point. And then if Mo Simakan also plays, he can backtrack well, but he does have the tendency to overcommit sometimes. And when we've lost possession, he's out of position. So you've got that little moment there before he does backtrack. So mostly it would be our wings that you would be find us most exposed. And because if you play central, because we are play normally quite central ourselves, we normally play a diamond 4-2-2-2. Two, there should be three twos. We tend to play very narrow. We press really quickly and very high up the pitch. And then we use our wing backs for the width. And sometimes that we will have our top two attacking midfielders, which would be ideally Xavi and Dani Olmo. They would push wide very rarely. So I would say that if you're trying to pass through the middle, it's possible, but it's just not going to be ideal. You would want to let us attack and try to get you on the counter-attack, so to speak, and then attack on whatever wing that is once you've been dispossessed of the ball. Because then you're going to have to bring, like, so for instance, we normally will have both our wing backs push forward, which would then could possibly leave our two centre backs exposed. And then if you do pick the one side where we've got the ball dispossessed, you're then going to have the other player who's overcommitted run back, and then you're going to have to shuffle down those middle two, which could then free up any of your central players. That's how I would look at it from my perspective and be attacking against our attacking way, so to speak.
Yeah, man, we should get you in front of Ancelotti. This is a whole last game plan.
Oh, he knows much more than me, mate. There's no...
Yeah, but so the thing with us is we do have a lot of wing play going on, but if we don't play Joselu, we might not actually have a presence in the middle. Do you think it can actually come back to hurt us? Like, who would you rather face? A front three of Brahim Diaz, Vinicius and Rodrigo, or the one with Joselu?
I would say the earlier than the latter. For me, your best three would be Rodrigo, Vinny, and Jude Bellingham, I believe. But I think Jude Bellingham's just been injured recently, so he won't be playing tomorrow. For me, that's your ideal front three. I think Joselu could play up front as well. I'm not too sure if he's injured or anything like that. It really depends. Sorry?
He's fit.
He's fit, yeah. So it really depends on what your how you want to shape it. You could shape your formation multiple ways, as Ancelotti knows more than just one formation. He can go with a back three, go with a flat back four, a 3-3 midfield and forward line. If most general teams play these days with a 4-3-3, so if I was going with that, I would probably put. This is just for me. I'd like to see Vinny and Rodrigo play. It'll be up to you guys who you'd pick as your centre forward, because without Bellingham, it's really just to fill the void for me. And then in your midfield three, I would have what would it be? I'm trying to think of your players now. It would be Toni Kroos, Camavinga, and I'm trying to think that
Fede.
That's the one. That's only, there's another player I'm thinking of. Like, you got so many star players, it's so many. And Freddie Valverde.
You forgot the one player who probably fit the Leipzig style the most, you know, in Fede Valverde.
Yeah, correct. I probably did that purposely in my head. Because we want him over here, but we never get him. and then, yeah, to be your back four, I'm not too sure if, I think Rudiger's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your captain Fernandez is coming back. You've got Tchouaméni as a makeshift centre-back. He's actually done quite well. I was quite surprised when Ancelotti put him over there. I thought he was lost it, so to speak. but hey, it's good to actually be able to have that. And yeah, to be honest, I don't even know who you have as a left-back.
Oh, it's Folland Mendy, the best defensive left-back in the world.
Folland Mendy. To be honest, I actually thought he might have actually been sold off or moved or something like that. So,
yeah. A lot of Real Madrid fans, you know, hope to see that next season for him to be actually sold. And
not on this podcast.
And Alfonso Davies to come on. Yeah, except for the people on the spot, yeah.
What's he now? Is he late 20s or is he in his 30s?
Late 20s,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that didn't he play for Chelsea at one point, or am I thinking of someone else?
You're thinking of Edouard Mendy, he was a goalkeeper.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
All right. Before we go for the ad break, maybe Justin, you can break down the starting 11 for you guys. So it's going to be Kulaxi, Simakan, Luka Baka, Orban, Raum, Olmo, Slager, Campbell, Simmons, Sesko, and Openda.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what the predicted lineup is for how we started in our last game. Janis Blažević has lost his spot as the number one goalkeeper. He did really, really well coming in for Peter Galacci, who did an ACL injury, if I remember correctly, last year, and completely ruled him out for the end of the season. He's come back and his experience has been irreplaceable, and he's done well as he's come back, and he's shown he's still got what it takes and the reflexes are still there. The Orban's back, so he's going to be playing centre-back. It'll be depending on who he's going to play with. I suspect he'll be playing with Lucas Klosterman down at centre-back with him. I expect on both sides we'll have David Raum and Mo Simakan will take the other side. In our midfield, I'm really hoping Xavier Schlager is not playing. As I said before, he was just terrible in the last couple of games, so I don't know why he played the full 90 minutes against Unsberg, because he was actually quite bad. He did a lot of dispossessions. If we could just swap him out and you could just use the excuse of he played a full 90 minutes just a few days ago, so you're resting him, that would be good. I would like to see Kevin Campbell in there because he's got some experience, play him in the central midfield. And then I'd like to see either Seibold or Baumgartner start in there. So they don't normally start too much. They have their moments in and out. They're very good players. Baumgartner was getting a bit of a name as an impact player. He came on and he played, I think, in just a couple of months of football, it was like 700 minutes or something, but he scored like 4 or 5 goals or something like that. It's like averaging a goal every 11 minutes or something ridiculous. And there was one time where I said he has elastic ankles. As he got tackled, looked like his ankle looked like it could have snapped at the angle how it was. And then just moments later, he did a rocketing shot and scored a goal from outside the box. I was like, oh, well, you've got elastic ankles, mate. There's nothing wrong with those. and then, yeah, in our front two, it would be definitely Luis Openda and Sesko. That would be for my picks. They've just been playing great together. And then just behind them, you'll have Danny Olmo and Xavi Simmons. That would be the ideal starting 11 for me. As you being at home, we have to go all out. You know, if you're going to lose, you're going to lose. But you've got to give us the best chance of seeing there's no away goals or anything like that, taking the best result possible against the world's best in European football.
Absolutely, especially with all of these Real Madrid players missing. You really need to, if you need to stand a chance, you have to finish it off in this game.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. We're yet to actually break down some of the pre-match quotes and the Real Madrid lineups as well. But before we go for that, Doris is with us. So she's going to actually read out some things from our sponsors, Manscaped.
Hola Madridistas, I'm back once again to remind you guys that we partnered up with Manscaped, and if you want to help and support this project and this little family of ours, be sure to check out Manscaped and use code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So 2024 is in full swing. We're already a month in, and if you had any New Year's resolutions to look better, you know, feel better, I have a company called Manscaped. They're trusted by more than 10 million men worldwide, and if you want to take a positive step, you know, in a good direction this year, start with yourself. And Manscaped asked us to introduce you guys to the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's a hair trimmer, you know, for your sensitive bits. It features skin safe technology, you know, to keep your sensitive bits safe. It has an LED bright, it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower. You get two extra heads, blade heads, to go either full smooth or a normal blade head. If you want to go all in, you can get the whole package. You get a nose trimmer, you get crop preserver, it's a ball deodorant, you get some aftershave, and in the box you also get some boxers and a bag, you know, to keep all of those things in. So yeah, if you're interested, go to manscaped.com, use code LBR20 to get 20% off at checkout, and free shipping. That's LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And thank you guys, and back to the video.
Yeah, I was just telling these guys, just save some things for the podcast, you know. You guys go on and on, but yeah. you were saying, we were going to break down, you want to break down the pre-match quotes now?
Yeah, sure. Okay, but so, man, before we go on, I think we should really thank Doris, because she kind of like did the whole ad thing like at the last moment, because, you know, Super Bowl is today, so we had to record a new ad today. So kudos to Doris for the hard work that she put in.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was last minute at all. It looked very professional.
Yeah, we were just talking in the morning and she was recording one. So, you know, it took her time and everything. So,
yeah, big up, Doris. Coming to Marco Rose's comments, it was mostly just blind praise at Real Madrid, at Bellingham specifically, saying he can absolutely be the game changer and whatnot. And from his time with coaching Dortmund as well, he knows he's actually surprised about the amount of goals that he scored. So, Justin, have you actually watched Bellingham when he was in the Bundesliga? And did you actually expect him to score this many goals?
No, so I didn't really expect to see him get so many goals. That being said, I didn't actually expect him to play in the position that he did for Real Madrid, like as a center forward, so to speak. He was always playing as like a central midfielder or maybe slightly attacking midfielder for Dortmund. And he's always had the ability and creative technical ability to do things with the ball. But he's really added to his game where it comes to being able to score now, not just doing assists. And he's still quite young as well. So I think that just having a better manager under him, so if he had had Klopp at Dortmund, I think he would have probably gotten something similar. This takes nothing away from you guys, like the quality of the passes and midfielders around him. But having the actual guidance of Carlo Ancelotti is really giving him that extra step in his career.
Absolutely. And it was Ancelotti and Toni Kroos for our side in terms of the pre-match quotes.
You know, seeing so much praise for Ancelotti from Justin, I think Farooq is not happy.
Yeah. I mean, now is there realistically any Real Madrid fan who doubts Ancelotti? And I don't think so. Like, with all
injuries. It's just Farooq, so.
Oh, just Farooq, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, Farooq didn't doubt him at the beginning. He was always about this fact that, you know, he doesn't like his approach. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't this his second stint back at Real Madrid?
Yeah, it's his second stint. Yeah. It was kind of surprising that he first stint ended, but the thing is, like, at Real Madrid, when you don't win a title, you know, the door is going to be open for you. There's only one manager who hasn't won a title and still stayed on, and that was back in like the 1780s and 80s with Di Stefano, you know, because Di Stefano is such a club legend, you can't really sack him. But yeah, sadly, you know, this is the thing at Real Madrid, but then, you know, that is what keeps the demand so high and players performing.
And coming from a young club of Leipzig, like I respect that as well. Like I said earlier in the season that we missed a good chance to get a keep our DFB Pokal crown, and win it for three times in a row, which not even Bayern have done, and that would have made history. And I copped a little bit of flack for that because people are like, oh, why don't you go support Bayern then or something if you expect like a title every season? I'm like, well, no, you need to actually understand. It's not that I expect a title every season. For me, I expect just minimum top four. So you get Champions League football. We bring in the good best players around the world and to elevate us and keep us in that. Obviously, I would like us to win the league. But while we were Pokal champions and with the squad that we had, I was like, yeah, we can go all the way and we can make a history, you know, three-peat.
Yeah, man, I was actually surprised. I was looking at, before coming into this podcast, I was kind of like, looking at Leipzig's history and everything. And I was kind of surprised to see that you guys, ever since you've been in the Bundesliga, there's only been one occasion where you actually not made the Champions League through your league position. So, I mean, you definitely stand in the standards in the Bundesliga. And it kind of like makes it even more, surprising the fact that you guys are like struggling to get into the top four this season, especially with Stuttgart performing well. And I guess you guys started well, but I don't really know what happened in the middle, and now you're behind Dortmund and Stuttgart.
Yeah, so this season, the Bundesliga, it's normally out of a top four, and then every now and then you'll have like 5 to 8 other teams, as in, I should reword that. You have a top four, and then you have another 3 or 4 teams that are a little bit behind the competition, where this season you've got a really good top eight that can easily still make the any sort of European football spot. So, For me, it's just that we haven't played well. We've dropped the points, and that's why we're sitting where we are. It's not panic stations or anything like that. We can certainly still get Champions League. And I think the only time that we didn't get European football, and it may have still been European football, was I think like, I can't even think of the year now. It might have been
18-19 was the year you played in Europa League.
Yeah, it was the season after we got promoted. We finished runner-up to Bayern, and then the year later we dropped back off to sixth. And so that would have been around about 2017-18 or something like that. And that was okay. And for me, it wouldn't be the end of the world if we do get European football as under Europa League. So if we finish fifth, it's not going to be the end of the world for me. But then I would look at it for next season, depending on what teams get into that, that should be a trophy that we can add as our first European trophy, because I don't expect us to win a UEFA Champions League, at least not for a little while. We've done well a couple of seasons. We've gotten into like semi-finals and that under Nagelsmann, but I don't, with the caliber of other European teams, especially Real Madrid, I think the other one would be like City. Everyone else is just miles behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Ancelotti and Kroos were asked basically about Kroos's retirement and maybe his involvement in the Euros. As always, Kroos was always like, man, I haven't decided my future or anything. It all depends on my plans. I might or might not do it. So, yeah. As always, keeping his cards close on his retirement.
Kroos is always diplomatic, till it comes to the question of returning to Bayern. Because I saw a question was asked saying that Tuchel wants him back at Bayern. And he said, like, that's never going to happen. So, yeah. His hate for Bayern is something like I sometimes understand. But, yeah. It's kind of surprising. Because on all other issues, he's mostly diplomatic, except when he's on his podcast, that's when he really lets it rip.
Yeah, I mean, he was very vocal about the Saudi League as well.
Yeah, on his podcast, see? In the press conference, it's always diplomatic, but when it comes to his podcast, you get Toni Kroos unfiltered.
Yeah. And Ancelotti actually had a couple of interesting quotes. He basically said Leipzig are very strong at set pieces. I think he was referring to the height of the team, referring to the fact that Brahim is not that tall and we have to play with, might have to play with Carvajal at CB if Nacho isn't like fully ready to play. And said he has to like really think on it. I want you to take this next couple of quotes because I feel like we could read a bit into it. Ancelotti says Vinicius, if he plays like he did against Girona, he can actually make the difference. And you remember Jude Bellingham also had a quote earlier in the week saying, Vinicius, when he's actually in the mood, he's totally unstoppable. So are they kind of referring to the fact that, Vinicius needs to get into the mood to actually come into the form?
Now, for me, I think it's more like the fact that they're praising him. He's saying that when he's at their best, he's like, you see what you saw over the weekend. Is this a backhand thing about, him losing his head from time to time at multiple arenas, especially away games? I don't really think so because that would not be Ancelotti's style because every time he comes in, he comes into the press conference, he's always been, you know, let's say, effusive about his own players, you know, never discourages anybody. So for me, I wouldn't really expect that from him. For me, you know, the question about Vinicius has always been there. Because on this podcast, I've said, like, in this current Real Madrid team, Vinicius is the best player, you know? It's like, when he's at his best, there's nobody better. Even, like, Jude Bellingham, as much as good he's done, and Jude is, like, incredible talent. But when they're at their best, you know, Vinicius is, like, completely something else. Like, even Benzema, if you saw it over the weekend, he kind of said Vinicius number one. So that's how hopes we have for him. So for me personally, I think it's all about Vini being in his head and, you know, not losing it. But going away to Leipzig, I don't really expect it to happen. But then, you know, the challenge of facing a player like Simakan, because we saw what happened last season, and especially given the fact that Jude isn't there for him to combine with, and Rodrigo and Vinicius might get isolated at times. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ancelotti approaches this game. But overall, as long as he keeps his head, and I think that's something that probably Ancelotti and Jude, like all the teammates, probably talk to him from time to time. So yeah, that's what we expect from him, you know, not lose your head on the field too much and just concentrate on the game.
Absolutely. And you don't expect that to happen either when it's outside of La Liga. It's when he plays in Spain in away stadiums that he actually has that issue. And
yeah.
Ancelotti also had bit of a hair raiser for me. I don't know what to make of this. Maybe it's just mind tricks, but he basically said, got asked who's going to be the starting goalkeeper tomorrow.
Yeah, I knew it was coming when you, the way you phrased it.
Yeah, so he basically said, Lunin or Kepa, I have it clear and you'll see it tomorrow. And what the hell? I thought you were past all of this.
No, I mean, essentially, and the thing is, like, he's never going to say one player is, like, you know, worse than the other, one player is better than the other. I think with Kepa, the thing is, like, you know, you've seen the mistakes he's made, but then the fact that, like, he was requested by Real Madrid to come here, like, especially the coaching staff. So Luis Lopez and Ancelotti probably think that they owe him something. So probably they don't want to completely rule him out. But for me, if we play him against Leipzig, especially with a player like Šeško in there, you know, or Ian Poulsen, like Justin was talking about, if we have those guys coming in early, I would be worried. Because a player that I didn't really touch upon, but Justin did, was, you know, Raum. And his crosses from the left-back position are incredibly lethal. So for me, having that kind of a player pinging in crosses from the right side, especially, we don't know if Carvajal plays a centre-back, we would be having Lucas playing, you know, right-back. So while Lucas has done well in La Liga, you know, Champions League is like a different kettle of fish, especially with different styles and everything. And the pace that Leipzig will bring to the game. So for me personally, I don't see how he goes with Kepa. He definitely has to go with Lunin because, you know, what Lunin brings aerially and everything.
Yeah, especially for a game where, you know, our defense is not... We just basically have no defense.
And you need consistency from somewhere. You know, you're not getting consistency from your center back because of the injuries and everything. So you do need some consistency to the back line. And like Farouk used to say, you know, the fact that you need to pick one and stick with them. So I hope Ancelotti does that, you know, pick one and stick with them. So he's picked Lunin, just stick with him for now.
Yeah. I want to ask Justin, are you guys actually looking for a goalkeeper? You know, Kepa is kind of free here.
No, so we've actually got Martin van der Voort, who currently plays in Genk. He's 21 years old. His contract starts with us. He's already penned to paper. It's already a done deal. Is this year, I believe, at the end of this year, or already started at the start of this year, and he's just been re-loaned out to Genk. So we've got Jonas Plaisowicz and Peter Galachi, both in their 30s. I do believe they're both in their 30s, or if not, Jonas Plaisowicz is late 20s. Like 28 to 29.
I think he's 32.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in his 30s, but sometimes I could be wrong, especially this time of the morning. So we've got a goalkeeper for the future, and I was a bit disappointed that he wasn't already playing for us, but I can sort of see where Leipzig were coming from to develop him and still leave him in Belgium to continue his development. I was just hoping that he could come under Peter Galachi's wing and, you know, get him to show him some things and get him on a lot earlier, because we do have a quite young side. Personally speaking, I would rather be playing against Kepa than Andre Lunin, because I've seen Kepa. I was shocked that you guys even grabbed him from Chelsea, to be honest. Like, some of the howlers I've seen him do in his career. I know we always remember the bad things instead of the good things, but we could easily get a couple of goals behind you guys, I reckon, if Kepa plays, so might have a chance.
I still think you have more than a chance, especially in the first leg, but yeah, let's see.
Jacob, before you go on to the next spot, I have an interesting one for you.
Sure.
Yeah, Ancelotti said, you know, honestly, after the spectacular game Carvajal played at CB, it scares me to, you know, move him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do? Like, on one hand, you have, like, tall players that are coming up against Sesko and whatnot, with dangerous crosses also coming in. On the other hand, like, if you move Carvajal and put Nacho in, who hasn't had, like, the greatest of seasons, it's a bit of a risk. So I can see where he's coming from.
But having Carvajal, you know, 6'4" Sesko against 5'7" Carvajal is like you know, a mismatch of David versus Goliath proportions.
Man, I feel like we don't give Carvajal too much credit. I mean, I feel like he can handle himself well. But against Sesko, I'm not sure. But against most players, he can.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, defensively, Carvajal is pretty good. You know, we've always talked about him at right-back position. And centre-back, he's kind of surprised us. I was actually surprised against Girona. He had this one cross where he kind of leapt, like, to the full height of their of their players. And I was kind of surprised. Like, you know, I didn't know Carvajal had this in him. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Carvajal plays.
Definitely. Yeah, that's it for the quotes for me. I just wanted to discuss another topic that I saw on Twitter, in Real Madrid Twitter. So, obviously, you know that Joselu missed the penalty against Girona. And fucking, that brings up a shocking stat. So, we missed more than 75% of our penalties this season.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this. You know, this season there's been whole controversies about referees not giving Real Madrid penalties. I don't know, Justin, if you watched the game against Atleti, Derby Madrileño, but two penalties should have been given to us. But then when you think about it, it's like, okay, even if we got the penalties, would we have been able to score them? So for me, it's like Real Madrid, like, especially given the fact how shocking we have been, you know. And then you add to the fact that, you know, he Tchouaméni was kind of asking him to give the pen to Guler. So it's like it only adds to the hodgepodge that is the situation. But then the fact that we only scored like 25% of our penalties, I think Joselu's missed one and he scored one this season. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. For me, coming to the scene, I always thought that Rodrigo should be the penalty taker. He missed one, and then ever since then, he's never been brought back to, you know, taking the penalties again. So for me personally, if there's a penalty situation in the game against Leipzig, I would hope that, you know, whoever takes at least scores, so that, you know, we can get these stats behind us.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, it doesn't come to penalties in the end after the two legs. That would be a horror situation.
If it comes to penalties, Leipzig can, you know, take it and run. They're through.
I don't even know how we'd go. We have a couple of players that are really terrible with penalties, so we don't even technically have a designated penalty kick taker anymore. We had Emil Forsberg that did that for us, but he's just moved over to the New York Red Bulls. So we've got Luis Openda that normally takes them. Sometimes Xavi does, but Xavi missed two penalties in one game and hasn't taken a penalty since. Wow. He was going to take it against Unsberg. Instead, Luis Openda did. The only bad thing about that is that Luis Openda went for placement rather than power, and the penalty ended up being saved by the Unsberg keeper. And I always thought to myself, well, even though Xavi he missed two penalties in one game in a row in the same game, but he hasn't taken a penalty since, would he have scored? Would it have mattered? Well, hopefully he takes the next one and we get some doubters, and otherwise we only have a couple of other good penalty kick takers. So Sesko's done okay, and Dani Olmo would be next in line after Xavi and Luis Openda.
Absolutely. So yeah, I guess both teams have issues, and it's going to be a really fun shootout if it actually does happen. But yeah, I don't want to see that.
Zero,
my heart can't handle it.
0-0 with the keepers coming in to score the vital penalties. So.
And then we sub Kepa on to actually score the winning goal. Will be something to see. All right. That's it for me in terms of the quotes. Do we want to head into the lineups now? The Real Madrid lineups?
Yeah, man, definitely. Let's go. But I think before we go on to it, like, just one thing I want to ask, Justin, is about the fact that you brought up Forsberg, and I have in my notes, like, I was supposed to ask you about it. But, you know, he was such a loyal servant to your club, and now he's left. So what kind of a hole does he leave, especially in the dressing room and everything?
Yeah, he was a bit of a character. Obviously, I can only go by images and reports and stuff like that, so outside information. But if you look at our Pokal wins, he always looked like he was having fun, especially when we won the second one. There's a famous picture with him with like a cigarette or something and a couple of the Pokals, like, in his hands.
So he's the Jack Grealish of Leipzig?
if you mean by like the character yeah. of it, then yeah, it would be basically, yeah. So it was always fun to be around. If I remember correctly, in one of the Pockle wins, I think Mo Simicon was sitting in a Esky or something that was pushing him around. I think it was him. Don't quote me on that one. But he's left not just the character of himself. He's left a whole of just absolute talent as well. You just can't replace that, you know, especially when you've been playing in a system for several years, you know, you know the players around you, you know how the system works. You just can't replace that overnight. So yeah, it's good to see him go and do a new venture. He's definitely not passed it by any means. He could have played for any top club in Europe, and he's decided to go over to New York Red Bulls, which would be great for Major League Soccer. And I think he probably looked at, you know, what some of the other players have done, like Messi and Luis Suarez and stuff like that, and thought, well, you know, I want to do something like that similar as well. So there he goes.
Yep. All right. Let's head into the lineups, man. This time, we don't have a lot of options, obviously. I'll kick things off with the goalkeeper and defense. So obviously, it's going to be Lunin in the back line. Probably, if we have to believe the reports that Nacho is going to be ready, it's Carvajal, Tchouaméni, Nacho, and Mendy at the back. Do you see any changes in midfield, Mo?
No, man, I think it's going to be Camavinga, Cruz, Pede. And obviously, without Bellingham, you kind of bring in Brahim for me. The only question for Emery lineup is like Brahim or Jose Lu. You know? That's the only thing. And for me, I think Ancelotti is going to stick with Brahim.
Okay. And if we actually go with Brahim, then who do we actually bring off the bench? We have Guler, obviously, who needs to have more game time. But who else apart from him and Jose Lu?
I think off the bench, it's going to be Jose Lu if he comes on. There's always the option of bringing in Modric if you want to control the game and everything. And then Ancelotti also has a fascination with Ceballos that, you know, a lot of people don't seem to like a lot. And then if we need a little bit more attack, especially from the wings, you could always bring on Fran instead of Mendy, you know, make those changes. So for me, I think we are kind of settled. But Bellingham is obviously going to be a big miss because he has been like incredibly vital to the whole team, even when he's not scoring goals, because his goals got a lot of attention. But the other work that he does, you know, and we have emphasized this on this pod, his ability to bring the ball from from out the back, and, you know, his ability to escape the press and his passes into space, into, you know, his vision, everything. So that's something that we're going to miss. But hopefully Brahim can, you know, bring some of it. And, you know, Brahim, Rodrigo, and Vinicius combined well and do the job.
Absolutely. And Justin, do you guys have any hidden weapons off the bench?
I wouldn't say hidden, as everything is pretty well known, especially coming from Real Madrid. You know, their scouts are one of the world's best. So the coming off the bench, like I said a little bit earlier, if Christophe Baumgartner doesn't start, he's a bit of an impact player off the bench, but he's just a normal central midfielder. He can play an attacking role as well. So he's not like, if you bring, you know, took Danny Olmo off and put him on, it'd be the similar position, but it's definitely not the same quality. Other than that, you've just got basically players that are more experienced. Really depends on who we start with and who we come on with. We do have a decent squad, so there's a number of ways we can line up, and we'll have players that come on with fresh legs to do the job, and that can be impacts off the bench, but nothing that's going to be someone that you wouldn't know of. You know, like Paulson can come on and play a good 20 minutes if, you know, change him for Sesko if you see him getting a bit sluggish. Then you've got good midfielders. We can use Nicholas Seiwald to play left back as well, if need be, as he does for Austria. So he can also play central midfield or as a defensive midfielder. So we've got good depth to cover all positions on the day, but nothing that's going to turn around and just be like, wow, I didn't expect that.
Well, at least, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Like, we actually don't have all of our positions even covered.
So. Yeah, well, when you've got Tchouaméni, one of the, you know, a great central defensive midfielder and central midfielder in his own right playing centre back, I look at that and I mean that's a stock standard thing for the last several months that I've seen. But you know, when you look at it, and if you weren't following Real Madrid, you just go, why is he there? So
yeah, absolutely. I guess that pretty much wraps up this podcast. We can go for predictions. What do you think?
I would go probably with a draw, like maybe 1-1 or 2-2, because I kind of rate Leipzig and this game is going to be tough for us. But, you know, I believe in the quality that Vinny and Rodrigo would bring. But so for me, it's probably going to be a scoring draw.
And is Sesko going to get a double, or are you hoping Xavi?
I'd say open. I probably put money on Openda to score.
Okay. A long ranger then?
Not a long ranger, but yeah, his ability to run in behind and, you know, get into the box on the end of a good pass or anything. So you can never rule it out.
How about you, Justin?
Well, if we're going to go by my actual podcast prediction that I just released, it's 4-0 for you guys, actually. So,
oh, wow.
But yeah, I just thought that you guys were going to just absolutely blitz us. I thought that we weren't going to play well. We were just going to play one of those games where, you know, we've had defensive problems all season, you know, so it really depends on what team shows up, so to speak, on the day. If the team that's going to be leaking goals shows up, yeah, you'll just run all over us and it doesn't matter who you have on the pitch. We're just going to lose. We'll just let goals that, you know, go in that shouldn't happen and concede. But judging from what you guys have said, it might just be a 2-2 draw if we're lucky. Otherwise, I think you guys will still win, but maybe 2-1.
Wow. Still pretty pessimistic. I mean,
it's kind of funny. Yeah. It's kind of funny to imagine the fact that Leipzig fan thinks we're going to rout them 4-0.
Never going to happen.
Well, I rated Girona pretty, you know, pretty high up there and played pretty well. And I think you guys were still league leaders at the time. And I was like, oh, yeah, top two clash. I only caught the highlights of it. And you guys just absolutely blitzed them all over the park. And I was just like, okay, if they're doing that to Girona, we're screwed. But it really depends on, like I said, what actual, you know, team of Leipzig shows up on the day. If a defensive leaking team shows up, yeah, you'll win quite comfortably. If it's actual the team that played a couple of weeks ago, not the game against Unsberg the week before that, then yeah, we have a chance of getting a draw. I highly doubt a win, but yeah, a draw would be our best result, I would say.
For me, I think compared to Girona, you guys have a lot of pace and verticality. So that is something that can, you know, hurt us. And the physicality that is present in the German game and the fact that you guys follow Ragni's philosophy of, you know, pressing with intensity. The intensity is the big thing, you know, in matching intensity, because the La Liga games are a little bit slower. So you kind of get more time and space to make those decisions. But in, you know, in Europe and especially against German teams, that's always a big worry. And kind of like the funny thing is Leipzig is the only German team that has actually beaten us like in the last 10-15 games. So you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I looked at that and I thought that was because it was a group stage game. For me, it was nothing like riding on it, so to speak. Like you'd look at that group and you'd expect both the teams to go through, so to speak. So you look at it and go, well, you're not playing round of 16 football. We're not playing, you know, semi-quarterfinals or anything like that. There's nothing major on the line. So for me, it was like, as Australians would call it, a dead rubber, so to speak. The result didn't matter. Where, you know, that now you're in the business end of the competition, this is where it really begins, so to speak. And you've got to come up and you've got to show up. Otherwise, you don't. That's how the loser teams get out, so to speak.
Yeah.
You weed out the bad teams because they just don't win.
Absolutely. Yeah, for me personally, I'm going to go with a 1-0 win or a 2-1 win. I feel like when we Real Madrid have their backs against the wall, we somehow managed to pull it out. And the things that we worried about, especially our defense, we're going to do well. And then maybe we'll have problems attacking. So that's just the things that, you know, happen at Real Madrid. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 win.
Just quickly, I think if we score or we play well in the first 15 minutes and really just take it to you straight away, that would be our best chance of getting a favorable result for a Leipzig's perspective, because you've got the home crowd as well and you know they'll actually believe. But then we'll also possibly get complacent and let you come back into the game, as we sometimes tend to do.
Yeah, like that almost plays into Real Madrid's DNA, you know. We've never managed to actually kind of convincingly finish out a first half, but in the second half, we actually do come alive. All right. I guess we can slowly wrap that up. It's been a pleasure having you on, Justin. Likewise, and we're probably going to have you for the reverse fixture as well, yeah, for previewing it. And yeah, before we go, we'd like to thank every single one of you guys in the chat, Rajat, Alejandro, Hassan, all of you guys, Ajay. Thanks for hanging out, for posting your questions. And So this is going to be an away game. That's not going to be any fan cams, but for the reverse fixture, we will have those, the footage from Madrid. And I'll also take this opportunity to thank our partners over at Real Madrid Committee for that awesome support and Instagram. So all of the links are right there in the description below. You can also check out Justin's platform as well, RBL Talk. And yeah, show him some love. And until next time, folks, Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.
Thanks for having me.